songs. I thank God for those specifically. We love our country. We're very patriotic around here. Go ahead and grab your Bibles and stand with me if you would. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I understand we don't worship this flag. We worship the God of the flag. Amen. God's given us a country that we live in. We're going to recognize that. But we're also going to focus on the Word of God as well. And see what God says about some different things. The message this morning is entitled, Being a Good Soldier. It's being a good soldier. And we're going to focus on some of the physical sides of being a soldier. Some of the earthly sides. But also we're going to apply it very spiritually as well. And very biblically. On what God expects from us as a soldier of Christ. Because we've all been enlisted in the army of God, those of us that are saved and born-again believers. You may have never served any time for your country, but you serve for your God and for your Savior. And we have been enlisted for a fight. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Look at verse number 3. Well, look at verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Now let's get to the text part of our verses, verses 3 through 5 here. Thou therefore, here specifically, individually, personally, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Lord, we thank you that we can take and carve out some time in our lives to be able to thank you and thank those that have given their lives. And many of them given the best years of their lives, and they're struggling with some health complications even to this day. We have a whole unit of disabled American veterans that are struggling with their health because they gave their best years to their country. And we thank you for that. We don't take that for granted. We understand the sacrifice that's been given. And many, Lord, have given the ultimate sacrifice by giving their lives. And we recognize that, of course, primarily on Memorial Day. But we don't want to forget that today either. But Lord, we don't want to forget the reason that we're all here and centered around the church and the Word of God this morning is because your Son gave His life for us. And He's enlisted us in the army of God. And may we not take that for granted, but may we understand what we're called to do and what we're supposed to do in regards to You and our service to You. Help us, Lord, to be good soldiers of the cross. We'll praise You. We'll thank You. We ask these things in Your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. As I stated a moment ago, we are focused primarily with the Veterans Day right around the corner being tomorrow. We're focused primarily on those that were enlisted as soldiers for our country. But let's not forget that each and every one of us that have been saved by the good grace of God have been enlisted as a soldier of Jesus Christ. We are today a soldier of the cross. And that's why Paul addresses Timothy, a young man of God, and tells him that he needs to endure hardness as a good soldier. Let's get into some aspects. I've got seven things I want to share with you this morning on reference to a good soldier and some aspects of being a good soldier. First and foremost, understand today that a good soldier, number one, is drafted. A good soldier is drafted first and foremost. And we have been drafted by God. Notice the Bible says in verse number 4, at the very, very end, we'll read the whole verse. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him, notice, who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We have all been drafted by God to be a soldier. We've been chosen. The word chosen speaks of two separate things specifically. First and foremost, it speaks of salvation in our lives. Those of us that are serving God today, those of us here that are in church today, hopefully we've come to a place in our life where we've trusted Christ as our personal Savior. Hopefully we've experienced the day of salvation. When it came to salvation, we did not come to God first and foremost. God was the one that did the calling. God was the one that did the drawing. I was the one that was lost. He's the one that found me. I didn't find Him at all. He came to me. He found me. He called. He reached down to the pit that I was in. He had His eyes on me. I wasn't the one going out and searching for Him. I heard the preacher say, time again, some time ago, and I wrote it down here as well. I'm glad that when he did call me that I wasn't a draft dodger. Amen. We've been drafted. We've been drafted. And I thank God that he didn't let us get away. But no, he called us unto him for salvation. I'm glad that I accepted it on that day. Several years ago, June 22nd, 2003 is the day that I got saved. I don't know what day that you got saved, but hopefully there's been a time and a place in your life that you can go back to where you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. And I'm glad that when he chose me and when he called me and when he drafted me, I'm glad that I responded. We can look at different people in the Word of God that were drafted. We can talk about Saul, the Apostle Paul. He was drafted on the road to Damascus, amen? In Acts chapter number 9, the Bible says in verse 5, "And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." There in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 9, it says, "God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." God is the one that did the calling. So chosen speaks of salvation, but not only does it speak of salvation in our life, chosen also speaks of service in our lives. In Acts chapter number 9, you can go with turn with me there, Acts chapter number 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. I love the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 9. Verse number 15, here God is talking to the Apostle Paul. He is Saul at this time. It's before God changed his name. And the reason God changed his name is because he made him a new person and gave him a new testimony. And the name Saul struck fear in the hearts of people, whereas the name Paul struck hope into the hearts of many people. You look at verse number 15, Acts chapter 9, verse number 15. "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me." To do what? "To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." We've been chosen by God to do a work for God. It not only chosen not only speaks of salvation, you can go back over to 1 Timothy, but it also speaks of service in our lives. Paul wrote the letter to Galatians in Galatians chapter 1, verse number 15. It says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen." See, God has separated us to a work to do for him. In John chapter number 15, verse number 16, Jesus Christ tells his disciples, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." We've been chosen by God to do a work for God. So here, a good soldier is drafted, but secondly, I want you to notice that a good soldier also is dedicated. A good soldier is dedicated. He's drafted, but he's also dedicated. Look at verse number 3. You're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Who are we a soldier of? We're a soldier of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. When a soldier comes in and he becomes a soldier of the military, a soldier of the Army or the Navy, the Air Force, we've got the Coast Guard, we've got the Marines, we even have the Space Force. I've yet to get a Space Force flag, but we will get one, I promise. Haven't found one yet. But when a soldier gets sworn in, they take an oath of the office. They raise their right hand, and this is the oath that they swear. "I, such and such, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice, so help me God." This is the oath that they take. They swear that they're going to uphold the Constitution, they're going to defend the Constitution, that they're going to follow the orders that they were given. But we, as a child of God, we've been drafted, but we've also been dedicated. The Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice," in Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. We are to endure hardness as a good soldier. We've been given our instruction manual as well. It is the Word of God. Now, just as a soldier takes an oath, a good soldier of Jesus Christ is commanded to be dedicated to the cause that God has given him. Was it not David there in the Old Testament that when he came to the battle and he saw all the soldiers standing idly by and even hiding from Goliath the giant, He stands and he asks them, who's going to kill this giant? Why are you going to let him sit there and mock our God? And then they turn on him. He looks at him and he says, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Did you not commit to something as a soldier? Did you not dedicate your life to protect our freedom? But you're going to let this uncircumcised Philistine speak all this ill against your God? So what have I done? Is there not a cause? And we as a child of God, we've been given a cause to support, and that cause is found in the Word of God, living our lives for Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 1, verse number 17, the Apostle Paul tells the church there at Philippi, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Listen, I'm not up here defending myself today. I'm not up here defending anybody at all, except for defending the Word of God. That's what we are to do as a child of God. By the way, the Word of God doesn't really need defended. It needs to be believed. Right. Amen. Amen. It doesn't need any defending. It needs believed by more and more people. They make the statement that they will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. They make the statement that they will obey the orders. You see, a good soldier takes this oath seriously. A good soldier will swear to this oath, and they will not break this oath. They will reflect a daily dedication to this promise. And we as a child of God, we ought to take an oath and bear dedication to the same thing as well. That we're going to hold true to the Word of God, regardless of what others may say. And regardless, even according to Galatians chapter 1, if somebody comes in with another gospel preaching another Jesus, we're going to hold true to the Word of God because we know what God said. A good soldier is drafted. A good soldier is dedicated. But thirdly, a good soldier is disciplined. A good soldier is disciplined. Oftentimes you think of a soldier, one of the first things they do after they sign on is they get ready to get shipped off to boot camp. Amen. Y'all remember your boot camp. How can you forget it, right? It's where the training took place. That's where you were taught how to obey the authority. Even some of the things that were just seemed idle and they seemed unnecessary, they were teaching and they were training you to follow commands and to follow orders. You understood then why things had to be inspected a certain way. Notice verse number 3. It says, thou therefore endure hardness. I don't know what's more hard for a beginning soldier other than boot camp. If they can't survive boot camp, how are they going to survive over on the field somewhere else? And as a child of God, there's going to be some times where some things may get a little hard in your life. There's some times where some things may get a little tough in your life, but we are told to endure hardness as a good soldier. There's some times where things will be tough. Sometimes where we may not always understand. But just like a soldier, once we enlist, there's going to be some rigorous training that takes place. A soldier's put through boot camp. And as a child of God, sometimes our feet are put to the fire. Amen. Sometimes we're going into this world and the world doesn't understand why we've changed the way that we've changed. They don't understand the change that God did in our hearts and our lives. They don't understand that we've become a new creature in Jesus Christ. They don't understand why old things are passed away and behold, all things have become new. And the things that we used to do, we don't do them anymore. And the places that we used to go, we don't go there anymore. And the world may not always understand that. And sometimes things are going to be hard in your Christian life. But we're told to be dedicated. We're told to be disciplined as a child of God. We need to learn how to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. When we talk about discipline in the Christian life, we need to be taught how to obey authority and how to take orders, just like a regular soldier is taught how to obey authority and how to take orders. Note, in their oath that they take, obedience and authority is detailed very specifically in the oath. I'll read it to you again. They say, I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me. It does not say, I will obey the orders of the President if I agree with him politically. It doesn't say that. The President is the Commander-in-Chief, and they are sworn to take that oath, and they obey the oath that they were given. A soldier that cannot follow orders is not considered a good soldier, right? And a child of God that cannot follow God's commandments is not going to be considered a good Christian, a good child of God. A soldier's priority is to learn how to please the one that enlisted them. how to please those that they are serving under. But also as a child of God, notice verse number 4. It says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him who hath chosen him. Our duty, our responsibility is to learn how to please our Heavenly Father. He is the one that has chosen us. He is the one that has drafted us. He is the one to which we are dedicated. He is the one to which we learn how to discipline ourselves after. The Apostle Paul made the statement to the church. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. And sometimes, yes, as a young child of God, we don't always know what we're supposed to do. Well, let me encourage you. Find somebody that's serving God and begin to follow them as they follow Christ. And we'll learn what we're supposed to do. A soldier's priority is to learn. This means that he cannot allow himself to be entangled with the affairs of this life. He's got to make sure that he dedicates himself, that he disciplines himself to learning. Now, there are instruction manuals that each and every branch of the military have to learn their different codes of conduct. And they got to learn how to operate according to the standards that have been set for them. They've got to memorize these different rules and these different procedures. They got to understand what they're supposed to do in this certain situations. There's a big, large manual that they have to learn. In our Christian life, there's a manual we need to learn. It's called the Word of God. We need to learn it. We need to love it. We need to listen to the Word of God that's being preached, and we need to practice it. The soldiers that are disciplined, they learn how to obey authority. They learn how to follow orders. Also, a soldier who is disciplined is taught how to prepare for certain types of inspections. You're taught how to make your bed properly, right? In boot camp. You're taught how to polish the shoes properly. You're taught how to prepare your uniform, how it's supposed to be ironed and not wrinkly, how it's supposed to be presented in the right manner. You're told how to stand at attention. All right, you're told specifically how to do these different things and how to be done in order. Good soldiers taught how to do everything according to the will of their superior, making their bed, their uniforms being pressed, shining the shoes, organized, their equipment being cleaned and properly assembled. Their daily routines are regimented. You follow a schedule. You follow a process. Their personal space is not always respected. Brother Brandon has told me several times where a drill instructor would get up in the face. Brother Thoreau has told me on several different occasions. My grandfather served in the Navy. And there were several times that there were things they could do back then that they can't do today. All right? And there were times where I've heard stories of young privates getting thrown up against the wall because they weren't listening to what they were being told. All right? Their personal space was not respected. Why? Because the enemy is not going to take anything lightly on them. The enemy's not going to hold back when they come across the line and they begin to fight and they begin to engage you. And understand today that the devil is not going to pull any punches when it comes to invading your personal space. The devil's not going to hold anything sacred in your life. You see, you may have a protected area there at your house where you don't want the devil to get involved, but you know what? The devil's going to try to creep in any way he can. Whether it's through your children, through your spouse, through the things you allow on your television set, through your personal phone, through the internet, whatever the case may be, the devil's going to try to creep in. He's going to try to ruin your life. And if we can't, as a child of God, handle rigorous inspections, we're not going to be a good soldier. You see, the good soldier, he makes it through boot camp understanding that he's going to be inspected on a daily basis, sometimes several times a day for different things. And as a child of God, we need to understand there ought to be accountability and inspection in the Christian life. Listen, there's far too many people today who are trying to live their Christian life without any form of accountability. There's far too many preachers who don't want to be accountable to the people that have voted him in to be their pastor. There's far too many men of God that think they can live their lives whatever way they want to and nobody's going to call them on the carpet because of it. We need accountability in the Christian life. We need transparency as well. A good soldier that's disciplined, they're taught how to obey, they're taught how to prepare, but also they're taught how to conduct themselves as a soldier. Notice what your Bible says. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It does not say to endure hardness like a good soldier. You see, God is not interested in making you like a good Christian. He doesn't want you to act like a good Christian. He wants you to be a good Christian. And there is a difference. There's a lot of people who are acting a part, but they're not serving a God. Don't be like a good soldier. Be a good soldier. Don't be like a good Christian. Be a good Christian. Discipline yourself to serve God. A good soldier is drafted. A good soldier is dedicated. A good soldier is disciplined. Number four, I like this one. A good soldier is dangerous. A good soldier is dangerous. We'll get to a verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. A good soldier is a warrior. A good soldier is a fighter. A good soldier knows how to handle the weapon that he has been given. A good soldier knows how to go on the offense. A good soldier knows how to defend himself and how to defend what he was assigned to protect. A good soldier is dangerous to those that would inflict harm to him and his family. A good soldier knows what it means to fight the good fight. A good soldier knows how to predict the enemy and how to make evasive maneuvers. A lot of combat is simply predicting what the enemy is going to be doing and preparing for that. And making evasive maneuvers. A good soldier is skilled in crippling the enemy and foiling their plans. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse number 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We need to understand that the devil, he's trying to do everything that he can to destroy our Christian life. But the Bible says that we're not ignorant of his devices. Go with me to 1 John. I'll show you what his devices are. It's very, very simple. They've not changed for all of earthly history. They've been the same that they've always been. We're not ignorant of his devices. He uses the same things today in our lives that he used in the Garden of Eden. The very same things. 1 John chapter 2. Verse number 15, 1 John 2:15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We talked about that on Wednesday night in our prayer life when we were studying the book of James. Verse number 16, for all that is in the world, here you go, these are the devices of the devil. We're not ignorant of these devices. We're not ignorant of the wiles of the devil. All that is in the world, what is it? The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. It's the same devices that the devil has always used. The lust of the flesh, what your flesh wants versus what the Spirit of God wants for you in your life. The lust of the eyes. This is why Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes that I will not look upon a maid. There are three things in the Bible that the Word of God specifically tells us that we're not to look upon. We're not to look upon women in Job. The book of Proverbs tells us we're not to look on wine when it changes its color. And then our eyes in the book of Ecclesiastes are told we're not to focus on wealth. All right? Specifically, we're to protect ourselves, the lust of the eyes, and then the pride of life. Don't get to the point where you think that you're above getting caught for whatever it is you're doing. Many a people, the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. Many a people follow certain sins in their lives simply because they're full of their own prideful ambitions. Go back with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. A good soldier is dangerous. At the end of Paul's ministry here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you're in 2 Timothy already. We'll get to 2 in a minute. Go back to chapter 4. Verse number 7, at the end of his ministry, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He was able to say that he fought a good fight simply because he fought a good fight. It's that simple. There's nothing difficult about it. He was able to say with a clear conscience and a clear mind at the end of his life that he fought a good fight because that's exactly what he did. He fought a good fight. And in our Christian lives, we are taught to fight a good fight. Paul was not good at hiding. Okay? Everywhere he went, everybody knew who Paul was. And they tried to stone him on several occasions. As a matter of fact, they let him down out of a window of a building in a basket. just so he could evade the crowd. He wasn't always good at hiding. He was not the most skilled person at avoiding conflict. It seemed like everywhere he went, conflict followed him. All right? The Bible even says that he was rude in his speech. He wasn't always the most tactful when it came to saying certain things. All right? Paul was not an expert in negotiating his way out of battles. No, he just fought it head on. So if somebody had a problem with him, he took the problem straight to him. He was good at fighting. At the end of his life, he was able to say that he fought a good fight because that's exactly what he did. He encouraged Timothy to do the same thing in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 12. He said to fight the good fight of faith. Now listen, I may not always fight good, but I'm always going to be in a good fight. Now in your life, we may not always fight good. All right, we may not always do necessarily what's expected of us, but we need to be involved in a good fight. And if we're for serving God, we're living our lives for Jesus Christ, we're going to be involved in a good fight. A good soldier knows he's dangerous because he knows how to launch an attack. A good soldier knows how to protect those that are under his command. By the way, he has their protection at the forefront of his mind no matter what he decides to do. He's not going to strive to do everything he can to put them in harm's way. No, he's going to try to make sure he protects them the best way that he can. Sometimes it does mean getting in harm's way, but he's going to try to protect the ones that are under his command. A good soldier knows how to use his weapons to do the most good. You know what our weapon today is? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. A good soldier also knows how to stand his ground. In Ephesians chapter number 6, the Bible says, "And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." We need to do everything that we can in this Christian life to stand for the cause of Jesus Christ. Also, a good soldier is going to inflict fear in the hearts of the enemy. Understand today that some days in this Christian life, you're going to feel the effects of the fight. Some days, as a soldier, yes, you may be dangerous, but some days you're going to feel pretty beat up. Some days you're going to feel pretty worn out because of the fight that's been ensuing. Some days, as a Christian, because of the fight, because of the battle, you're going to feel like not fighting that day. But let me tell you, the day that you choose not to fight is the day the devil's going to get victory in your life. Each and every day that you wake up, each and every day that you get out of bed, it is a fight to do what is right. I guarantee you that. This world's not going to do anything to help you do right, no matter who's in a political office. It's always going to be a fight to do what God has commanded us to do. And by the way, it's not always going to be popular. Some days you're going to feel like you've been beaten up. Let me give you good news. You have been. Alright? You feel like you've been beaten up because you have been beaten up. You've been beaten up by the stress of this world, by the stress of your finances, by the stress of your marriage, by the stress of raising your children for the glory of God, by the stress of your workplace, all the different stresses in life, you're going to get beat up. Why? Because the devil's always fighting. But let me ask you this. Paul was dangerous. Why was he dangerous? Because as a lost person, he wreaked havoc on the church, but as a saved, born-again believer, he wreaked havoc on the things of the devil. And he wreaked havoc on this world. But I want to ask you, what kind of danger are you to the devil and his agenda? You see, we wake up in the morning and we wonder, you know, what kind of fight am I going to go into today? And you wake up with a pessimistic attitude, understanding that there's going to be a battle that takes place, instead of being optimistic in the fact that you have God on your side and God is the majority no matter what. But I wonder, does the devil wake up in the morning and think, oh, so-and-so got out of bed, we better watch out. Got to watch out for that child of God. They're going to do right no matter what, and they're going to try to win somebody to Christ today. I've got to watch them. They're going to witness, and they're going to testify, and they're going to be the example that God called them to be, and they're going to try to raise their children for right. I've got to make sure I've got extra demons on that person. I wonder, does the devil wake up like that? Or do we just wake up thinking that the devil's going to attack us? No, we need to put the devil on defense. Amen. We need to put the devil back on his heels. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Does the devil get nervous about you waking up every morning? It's a good thought. As a child of God, as a soldier of God, we've been drafted. We should be dedicated. We need to be disciplined, but we need to be dangerous. Number five, we need to be determined. A good soldier is determined to win. Look at me, 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The word strive means that there's going to be a battle that takes place. That means there's going to be work. We need to be determined. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We need to make some decisions in our lives and be determined to live each and every day for the glory of God. Some things we ought to lay aside, and some things we ought to do for the glory of God. You see, a good soldier is determined to win at all cost. A good soldier is not always worried about the personal affliction he's going to face. He's going to do what needs to be done to accomplish the task that has been set before him. And there are some times in this Christian life where you need to resolve yourself to do what needs to be done in order to accomplish the task of raising your family for the glory of God. Yes, your children may not enjoy it. Yes, your spouse may not be too particularly happy that you're in church today. But you need to make some determinations in your life that you're going to live for God no matter what. And as a man of God, you're going to lead your family to serve God. And as a couple, you're going to raise some children for the glory of God. Maybe as a teenager, you're going to make some decisions. Regardless of what your friends choose to do, you're going to do right. Even in the face of adversity. Even in the face of mockery and ridicule. The Bible says fools make a mock at sin. You need to be determined in this Christian life. Philippians chapter 3, go with me. I've referenced this many a times. I'm going to continue to reference it because it's important in our lives. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. I never want to forget what Paul has taught the church of Philippi here. And again, I know I've referenced this verse many a times over the last 2 months. But I want it to be ingrained in your heart as a believer. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. Why? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Why? That I may win Christ. What was he saying? He's saying, I'm determined. I'm determined to live my life for God, regardless of what it cost me. He also said, you go back with me, 2 Timothy, he also said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 15, he told the church at Corinth, he said, most gladly I will spend and be spent for you. The word specifically, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. What's he saying? He's saying, I don't care what it costs me financially, and I don't care what it costs me personally and physically. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that you're raised up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And as a parent, we got to do everything that we can to make sure our children are raised up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We've got to make sure that our children have a fighting chance here in this world today. Jesus Christ gave us the greatest example of determination while dying on the cross. In spite of everything that man could do, in spite of everything that Satan could do against him, Jesus Christ didn't allow anything to deter him from accomplishing his mission. Remember one of the statements on the cross, he said, "It is finished." He completed it. He completed the work he was sent here to do. You know what? That takes determination. There was nothing easy about enduring the pain that he endured. As a matter of fact, during his ministry, he said he had no pillow where to lay his head at night. He lived on this earth like a vagabond, traveling from place to place with no home. Yet, he was able to fulfill the mission God gave him to do. We're so focused on making sure that our house is presentable, making sure that our vehicles are up to date, and making sure that all this is the way it's supposed to be. And we forget Jesus Christ didn't have any of those things. We get so focused on the things of this world that we forget the person who we're serving. And that's Jesus Christ. We need to be determined to fight for the cause that God's given us. You see, a good soldier, he's willing to die for his cause. We've got soldiers that have been buried over on the other side of the world today that we still don't have their bones that have been given over here into America for a proper burial. We've got those that have been shipped over here, and we've got those that have been buried here in America. But we've got bones all around the world and even in the oceans of our military servicemen who've never had a proper burial. What were they doing? They were willing to pay the price. They were determined. Why? Because they understood freedom was more important than their life. And in reference to our service for God, the future generations and the opportunity that they have to be able to serve God is more important than my own life. Understand that. We've got to make sure that we are giving a proper foundation to these young people and giving them every opportunity to be able to serve God fully and completely with their lives. We need to be determined in this Christian life. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, go over there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Here, Paul is giving final words to Timothy. The whole book of 2 Timothy is all about his final words. Look at verse number 5. It says, "But watch thou in all things and endure afflictions." We see the word endure again. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 5. "Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry." In verse 6 he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." What was Paul saying? Paul saying, hey, get up, boy, get ready. You're next. Get ready. I'm about to go. I'm about to die. I'm about to be taken out of this world. I'm about to go to heaven and be with my Savior. And it's your turn. Be ready. As a child of God, as a parent, we need to be training our young people to be ready for that next step. It's coming right around the corner. Teenagers understand, you're going to be an adult very soon. Just turned 16. 2 years, you're legally an adult. We got some in here that are 12. You're about to be an adult. It's coming. All right? It is coming. You think, well, I got all these years. No, 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 you don't. I thought that when I was a teenager too. All right? It's coming. Responsibility is right around the corner. By the way, you should have responsibility right now as a teenager. You should know how to clean your room. Amen. All the parents said amen. You should know how to wash dishes. All the mothers said amen. You should know how to do some things as a teenager, because you're about to be an adult and ain't nobody going to be doing it for you. As a teenager, you ought to be making some decisions right now about serving God with your life, because there's going to come a time where you're an adult. You're not going to have all the freedom to be able to make all these decisions. You're not going to have all the freedom to be able to go to all these youth conferences, because you're going to be tied down with a job one day. You have to make some decisions now on where you're going to stand, specifically on certain key issues. And you better get those things nailed down and settled in your life before you get a job. Because if you don't know where you stand on certain issues before you get a job, as soon as you get a job and you get around the crowd of the world, they're going to begin to sway you about with every wind of doctrine. That's Bible. You got to know where you stand, and you got to stand fast in the things that you've been taught and the things that you know and believe. Was that not what Paul told the church at Philippi? But the things thou hast heard and seen, he said, do them. Do them. Because you've got to get some things established. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 58 says, to be strong and to stand. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If you're not willing to stand right now, you won't stand when the time comes. By the way, listen here, teenagers, listen to me. This is the best possible opportunity of your life to learn how to stand for God right now. Okay? And if you can't make these decisions right now as a teenager, you're going to fall apart when you become an adult. Because that responsibility is going to weigh down heavy on you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to give you some reality. All right? As a teenager, right now, you understand and you begin to develop what you believe based on the Word of God, and you take the truths that you've been taught here in church, you begin to manifest them deep inside of your heart, you begin to hold on to those very tightly, because when you become an adult and you're out there on your own, you're going to have to make some hard decisions. And if you can't stand on the Word of God, you're going to go around doing whatever feels good and whatever becomes popular. You got to have some Bible reasons for why you do the things that you do. Develop those convictions now. A good soldier is willing to die for his cause. We said a good soldier is drafted. He's dedicated. He's disciplined. He's dangerous. He's determined. But also a good soldier is dependable. A good soldier is dependable. That means he won't go AWOL. That's absent without leave. Amen. He's just not going to randomly disappear when things get tough. You know, there's always that guy that you know that whenever the work is time for work to be done, he just randomly disappears. You don't know where he went. Anybody ever know anybody like that? You ever work with somebody like that? We all know. You're thinking of somebody right now. I had when I was in Bible college, for 3 years I worked at a restaurant. I managed the restaurant. My senior year in Bible college, I began working for a contractor. And a couple of us guys that I went to, a couple of guys I went to college with, we all three worked for the same contractor. We would go and we would do jobs and we learned quite a bit. Taught me a lot. I became the lead man, his cut guy. There was one time we were in the house doing something. I don't remember what we were doing. We may have been sanding the walls because we had just mudded everything. We're going through sanding things. And he comes around the corner and he says, "Hey, where's so-and-so?" He's like, "I don't know. He's in the other room a minute ago." He's like, "I don't know where he's at. He's nowhere to be found." I'm like, I don't know where he's at. I don't know. He didn't say anything to me. Maybe he went to the bathroom. Maybe he's out in the woods. I don't know where he's at. He was hiding in a closet asleep. We were at work. We were on the job site. And the guy's curled up in the corner of a closet sleeping. I found him. I hit him. "Dude, wake up. You're here. You're going to get fired. You're going to lose your job." "Oh, man, I'm sorry. I didn't sleep last night." I said, "Because you were too busy playing video games. Get up and do your work. Get busy." There's always that guy. Amen. There's somebody that when the boss man shows up, they begin to act like they were doing something because they hadn't been doing anything all day long. But they know how to look good in front of everybody else, right? We will all work with somebody like that. That's not what I'm talking about right here. I'm talking about a good soldier is someone who's dependable. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2, "Moreover is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." If we're going to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ, we've got to be faithful. You see, a good soldier is there when we need them. A good soldier is ready for duty when the need arises. I got an opportunity when I was a teenager, as a senior in high school. Every year our seniors in our school would take a senior trip to Washington, D.C. Got an opportunity to go and see a lot of the landmarks there in Washington, D.C. We got to go to the White House. I was standing in the green room or the red room, one of the rooms downstairs. And the Secret Service agent comes down the stairs and he says, "Y'all don't move." Okay. I didn't touch anything, I promise. He said, y'all don't move in. Y'all stay. Stay right there where you're at. Don't move." Like, okay. And we're standing there in this big bay window facing the south lawn. And this helicopter comes in. It's Marine One. President George Bush was the president at the time. Not the first one. The second one. Okay. I'm not that old. George W. he comes out of the next room. He's literally one room over. He comes out and he goes around the front of the south lawn. He is standing literally from me to where Diane is. And there's a glass right in front of us. And we're like, "That's the president." I look at my friend. And the Secret Service guys are just standing. Just standing looking at us. I was like, "That's the president." Like, he said, "Don't move." Waving at the president. "Hey, Mr. President, hey." He said, "Don't move." "Yes, sir." I don't know why I said that. Oh, that's what I was getting to. We got a chance to go to Washington, D.C. We got to go see Arlington National Cemetery. We got to go see all these different places. We got to go see Ford Theater and the bed that Abraham Lincoln died in, all the different stuff. One of the places that I loved going to was the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And the Marines that would walk and pace very systematically back and forth, constantly ready and dependable to do the job they were tasked to do. Didn't matter if it was rain, sleet, snow, didn't matter at all. They were out there guarding the tomb, paying homage, paying respect. They were dependable. That's why I gave that illustration. A good soldier's ready for the duty when the need arises. A good soldier's not distracted or tuned out or playing around when it's time to fight. A good soldier's not playing on his phone, all the different video games, right? A good soldier doesn't fall asleep like my buddy did when we were working. He doesn't fall asleep on duty, amen? He doesn't let the enemy sneak in and invade the camp while he is on watch, while he was on guard. By the way, a good soldier doesn't need to be given a pep talk or a personal rally in order to stand up and do what he's taught to do. He's a self-starter. He doesn't have to have somebody burn a fire inside of him or underneath his tail end. He gets stuff done because he knows it needs to get done. He doesn't have to have a pep talk every 5 minutes. Listen, we got some weak Christians today that constantly got to get a pep talk for why they ought to serve God. Listen, you don't need somebody to constantly give you encouragement to serve God. You need to serve God because you got the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, and you're not going to hell today. You ought to serve God because of that. Very simply. A good soldier is reliable. He's dependable. He's equipped. He's willing and he's eager. He's faithful. A good soldier is drafted. He's dedicated. He's disciplined. He's dangerous. He's determined. He's dependable. But also, lastly, a good soldier is decorated. A good soldier is decorated. Look at verse 5. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. He gets commendations and promotions and rank. Paul was able to say at the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7, that I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. But the very next verse is the important part. Verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. You see, when a soldier gets any form of commendation, gets their new stripes, gets their new bars, whatever the case may be, when they get a commendation, they get it from their superior officer. And you see, when we are going to get rewarded one day, when we get to heaven, it's going to be Jesus Christ giving us a crown of righteousness. It's going to be our commanding officer that's going to be decorating us because of our service for Him. We should all strive one day to be able to hear our Savior say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But listen, He's not going to say well done if you've not done well. And as a child of God, we ought to strive to do well in everything that we do for the glory of God. On a day like today and tomorrow, we thank God for our veterans and the good soldiers that have fought for our freedoms and for our liberties. But each and every day, let's not forget the good soldiers that have fought so we can have the Bible that we have as well. We've got martyrs that have given their lives. They're heroes of the faith, giving their lives so we can have the Word of God and we can have it in our own language. There are many that have given so much. I want to ask you the question this morning. Are you a good soldier for the Lord? Would you be labeled as a good soldier for the Lord? Have you been drafted by God? Maybe you've never been saved. You've never entered the draft. Are you dedicated to God? Have you ever made it a point to dedicate yourself back to the one who gave so much for you? Are you disciplined? Are you dangerous? Not dangerous to other Christians, are you dangerous to the devil? Does he quake in his boots when you wake up and your feet touch the ground every morning? Are we determined to live for God? How about this? Are we dependable? God's given so much for us. What have we given for Him? And lastly, are you decorated? Are you going to have any rewards when you get to heaven? There's different crowns that we can win when we get there. But are we going to have anything to cast back at the feet of Jesus Christ? Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. The question this morning is, are you a good soldier? Are you a good soldier? Are you doing what God has commanded you to do with heads bowed and eyes closed? Got a couple questions for you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. How many of you would say, "Brother Terry, God spoke to my heart somewhere in that message, and I don't know if I've ever been drafted." Let me tell you, you will know. Just like a soldier knows that he's part of something. I don't know if I've ever been drafted. I've never trusted Christ as my personal Savior. Would you raise your hand? I've never trusted Christ as my personal Savior. We got a hand there. Thank you. God bless you for that. I'm going to trust that everyone else has been drafted. They've trusted Christ as their personal Savior. The one that raised their hand, I asked if you look at me real quick. If you mean business, I can have somebody show you the Word of God and show you how you can trust Christ. Would you like that this morning? If you'll come forward, Brother Nick here will take the Bible and he'll show you how you can trust Christ as your personal Savior. Now for the rest of us, while they're being dealt with, for the rest of us, how many of you, with all honesty in your hearts, would say, Brother Terry, I know I could be a better soldier for Jesus Christ. How many of you say that? Raise your hand. I know I could be a better soldier. Hands up all over the room. If we know, you can put your hands down. If we know we can be a better soldier, let's make some commitments this morning and be more determined to live our lives for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Lord, may we not take lightly the challenge and the task that you've given us to be able to win the world to you. And yes, we do thank God. We do thank you so much for our veterans and those that have given their lives for us. But Lord, may we not forget that you've given your life for us as well. The very least that we can do is give our life back to you.